So when we talk about the media, and now you're a member of the media, really, just like
yes.
me.
Yes.
I find the influence on members of the media, whether you're a television reporter for NBC or the BBC, or you got your own talk show, or you're just a cub reporter starting down here at the local newspaper, the influence is not really from the government as much as it is peers, your reaction of the people you work with. And you might go into that newsroom thinking, hey, I got a great UFO story, and everybody's made fun of you 30 years ago, so you write it from a chuckle standpoint. Now people are beginning to come around, and maybe they're a little more open. I think that has a big influence, more than the government calling up and saying, don't report that or we'll put you in Guantanamo or someplace.
Yes, and I don't believe, certainly speaking from personal experience, that the government in Britain has ever done that. That's not
never,
to say...
It's never happened to me.
Well, and in Britain, I'll give you a practical example. Yes, the Ministry of Defence, through the press office, will continually try to downplay the subject. And sometimes it will use a few little dirty tricks, just by, for example, using phrases like little green men and referring
sure.
to the UFO research community as UFO spotters or something a little disparaging to try and perhaps influence a story to make sure that it's you know not something that's going to be looking in huge detail at issues of what's in our airspace, but it's going to be a little bit more of a silly season story. Having said that, I think it is changing, and to give you a practical example, I write as a freelance journalist for a number of newspapers and magazines. I commentate on UFOs, but also on the unexplained and on some other subjects on a lot of TV shows. As a journalist, of course, I'd be the first to admit that I tailor my own performance, my own product, to the audience for which I'm writing and speaking. And when I go on a light-hearted morning chat show and do a piece there where I'm sitting around with the presenter on the sofas, and it's one of these programs that's watched mid-morning by a lot of people who, you do a fairly light-hearted, chatty show. When I'm on an evening news show, I will perhaps, play it in a different way. The best example, I guess, though, is when I'm writing. When I'm writing for example, as I have written an op-ed for the New York Times, I wrote that op-ed in a very straightforward, almost dry manner. Yes, highlighting some interesting cases, but playing it very much as a defense, national security, and air safety issue, which is my great mantra and why I'm still involved in this. When I write, as I do for newspapers like The Sun, which are far more populist in their approach, yes, we'll get into some slightly more dramatic and populist language, but that's the nature of the beast.
How did that article come around for you to do the New York Times? And that's they're pretty conservative as far as UFO issues, things like that. The air safety issue, I guess, was the handle to get in the door.
Yes, what happened was that the New York Times spoke to me before the file release and then ran an article on it, but didn't use my quote and went with quotes from the UFO research community. So Leslie Kane, the investigative journalist, called me up and said, well, Nick, why don't you build on that article and write an op-ed for them?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, okay, I'll pitch something. Now, it was quite a long process. I had to say what I was proposing. We went back and forward with a few calls and emails so that they could get a sense.
But no one at the New York Times said, I don't want to do any UFO stuff.
No. When I approached them, they said, well, that's interesting. Tell us what your angle is.
Uh-huh.
And it was defense, potential espionage as well. I said, look, post 9/11 particularly, we should be absolutely certain about anything in American airspace, shouldn't we? And if there's something which is being labeled as a UFO, but people aren't looking at it because filter programs are running on on radar systems and air traffic controllers and fighter controllers aren't even looking at this, or if people are using their prejudices about the term UFO and we're not looking at something in American airspace, I said, post 9/11, isn't that a serious issue? They rather liked that angle because it wasn't, I think, the traditional angle in a UFO story. So they said, yeah, let us have it. So I wrote it. It went into the system. 2 or 3 months passed. I thought, well, maybe they'll use it, maybe they won't. I suddenly got a call and had to do a very quick couple of revisions, do the final fact check, sign it off, and then it ran. And a lot of people were absolutely incredulous that the New York had, the New York Times had run an op-ed, and that it, I don't want to sound boastful, but that it had taken a Brit to get it in.
Well, I think it was, one of those door-opening movements. I mean, I think that they've now done it, so...
When I saw it in print in the New York Times, I normally, with my journalistic work, by the time something that I've written is published, I've moved on to the next thing, and I've got tapes of me on TV, which I've never even bothered to watch, because, you know, as a journalist, that's stuff I've done, and I'm always thinking about what the next project is. But this was one piece of work that stands up with a few others. I was really proud of this, and the response that it generated from readers, but not just that, but on the radio shows, on the blogs, the forums, the email discussion lists, was absolutely phenomenal. I mean, in terms of the reaction, and some people saying, this is fantastic, this is great. Some people saying, no, this is crazy. Others saying, what's going on? Why is the Times looking at this and even doing it?
Gets back to my conspiracy theory. 3 out of 5 think there's something working, and not necessarily. when we talk to Nick Pope, we have to find out what he's up to. He's got a company that does quite a few multimedia things. You're into television pretty good.
I'm doing a lot of television work. That's probably the main focus of activity at the moment. Obviously, I was involved quite heavily with some of the episodes of UFO Hunters. I've also been involved with a new History Channel show called That's Impossible, which is going to look at various fringe science, cutting-edge technologies, and nothing to do, or only peripherally to do, perhaps some people would say, with UFOs, but in my capacity as someone who comments as a defense analyst from time to time because of my background, I'm commenting on, and this is a 6-part series that starts on July 7th, I believe, on History Channel. It's going to look at things like invisibility, mind control, robotics, weather weapons, nanotechnology, eugenics, that sort of thing. So that's an interesting area that I've been involved with. And several new UFO shows, both proposed series and potential one-off documentaries that I'm involved in pitching and filming show reels for. So watch this space.
You
or rather listen to it.
Yes, or whatever. Nick Pope, it's always a joy seeing you. You come to the States quite often these days.
Yes, I was looking on my way over, actually, at my passport, and it's a comparatively new passport. I renewed it, I think, in 2007. I've already got about 7 or 8 U.S. Stamps in there. I was over for Steve Bassett's X conference earlier this year.
Here, you know, you're talking about Steve. He's got a good idea of hitting, I think. And I'll run this by you and see what your reaction is. You have a similar background. He is urging everybody to write the White House press group, not officially, just the organization itself, to ask questions about UFOs. And I think if we can get reporters asking enough questions, that'll probably happen. I mean, probably faster than the government deciding to do something.
Yes, I think any pressure that's bottom up, whether it's from the public, whether it's from the media, but particularly, obviously, the government's going to pay even more attention, I think, to
the media right.
than the public, particularly if people are putting them on the spot, then, yeah, I'm not sure that this campaign is going to succeed or not, because I think it
Well, it
depends.
Probably won't, but it might open the door a little.
Yeah.
And somebody might say, hey, Helen Thomas kind of got barred for asking questions like that, but somebody might do it again.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how that unfolds. But yeah, I'm a frequent visitor for these conferences. I love coming to America, and I hope that I'll continue coming to these conferences for a long time. I think they're very interesting. Obviously, new information is presented, but also as somebody who's involved in this field, it's an interesting opportunity for me to catch up with some old friends and to network on all the latest developments in this fascinating subject.
Nick Pope, thanks for being on with us, and they can see some of your work on the History Channel soon.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. It's been great to be on the show again.
Okay, this is Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from Roswell, and we'll be right back. It's the 62nd anniversary of the Roswell crash. Don't go away.